Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to the Business Radio X studio in Wilmington, North Carolina, and to the Wilmington Chamber of Commerce Voice of Business show. I'm Connie Majorette. I'm president and CEO of the Wilmington Chamber, and with me is Ann Revelle Petcher with Business Radio. Thanks for being here, Ann.
I'm so glad to be here and glad to be here for your first show, Connie.
It's our first show, so Ann has to be here to tell us what we need to do, so we're looking forward to learning. The focus of our show today is crime. It's an issue of great importance to our community as it affects everyone. In particular, we're going to focus on one aspect of crime prevention, and that's keeping low-income youth on par educationally with students from middle and upper income households. We're going to share some interesting data on how educational attainment is tied to crime. We're going to tell you about a phenomenon known as summer slippage and why that's dooming many kids to fail in school. And we're going to talk about why lowering the crime rate should be of utmost importance to the business community. We're really pleased to have these great experts with us today, and I'd like to introduce Ricky Godwin, who is the Wilmington Chamber of Commerce Chairman of the Board this year. He's also a partner with McGladrey LLC, which means he's in the middle of tax season as an accountant, but he's also doing a wonderful job volunteering as chamber chair. Hi, Ricky.
Hey, Connie. Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you. City of Wilmington Mayor, the Honorable Bill Saffo, welcome.
Well, welcome. Thank you, Connie. It's good to be here. Not inside the studio with such a beautiful day outside, but it's good to be here with you.
Y'all don't know, but this is Azalea Festival week in Wilmington. The weather's perfect, and we have lots of visitors in town, so it's a busy time. And last but not least, Jana Jones Hall, who is the Executive Director of the Blue Ribbon Commission on the Prevention of Youth Violence. Welcome.
Thank you, Connie.
Good to have y'all here. Okay, Ricky, we're going to start with you. Why in the world would the business community be concerned about crime? And why in the world would the chamber be focused on crime?
Well, Connie, you know, we took this up as one of our issues this year. We spoke about it at a breakfast we were invited to and hosted. We also spoke about it at our annual meeting and got nice input back from those who were there. But the crime issue affects businesses from several perspectives. One of those is, of course, strictly from our employees and so forth, and our suppliers and others who are visiting our firms and so forth, and having safe travels and opportunities in the area. It's also a quality of life issue that it affects where we live and how we play and do other things. And a third issue that really it probably is a surprise to some, but it affects us from an economic development standpoint. Last year at our annual meeting, we had a business site selector named Jay Gardner who spoke to us to give us some ideas about issues that affect our economic development in our area. And one of the things he mentioned was that crime is one of the priorities they look at from opportunity to select sites for their customers. And so it has a big play when it comes to businesses, not only the moving here, but those who are here staying here for the most part. So it is a big issue from a business perspective.
Yeah, we were really surprised to hear that. I think we thought everything was going to be education and quality of life and availability of workforce, but he was pretty serious about crime impacting.
Yeah, he was. That was a major issue he talked about for the most part. I think it surprised all of us.
Yeah. And Mayor, I know the city either directly or indirectly is involved in preventing crime and reaching out and making sure that we eliminate the conditions that lead to crime. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you've done, you've started the Mayor's Blue Ribbon Commission for the Prevention of Youth Violence. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, that was something that was initiated back in 2007. It was a partnership with the University of North Carolina, with the District Attorney's Office, with you, the Chamber of Commerce. With our school superintendent from the faith-based community and a lot of other different leaders that came together to start talking about this initiative to reduce youth violence. We'd had a spike in youth violence in 2007 that maybe some people have forgotten about, but that was the catalyst that began this whole process. And I've said it many times, I felt that we spend a lot of money on the repression side of government in regards to police with $26 million in our budget just for that particular unit alone, and we don't, I believe, do enough on the prevention side, which is really to start attacking a lot of the social issues that cause crime in the long run, and something that we all have to deal with. And as a person that is responsible for the taxpayers' dollar, One of the things that I have seen over and over again is the amount of money that we are spending to incarcerate people at a tune of between, depending on who you talk to, between $28,000 on the low side and up to $32,000 on the high side. So I would rather have those people that are incarcerated be productive citizens in our community, in our society, paying taxes and being part of the fabric of our city. And I think that the Blue Ribbon Commission, which was a model that is based on the Harlem Children's Zone in Harlem, New York, a guy by the name of Jeffrey Canada created, is an initiative to start looking at all of the holistic things that we can do as a community, not only from the business side of the equation and government side, but also the nonprofits, the faith-based group, and the entire community coming together to start addressing some of these social ills that we are finding in our schools, especially our elementary schools, our middle schools, and then going into high schools, and trying to reduce that dropout rate and get these kids into a direction in life that will make them productive citizens.
Well, and we were very lucky. I serve on the Blue Ribbon Commission with the mayor, and we were very lucky to hire an excellent executive director in Jana Jones Halls, who has made a huge difference in the short time you've been with us. We talked about summer slippage at the beginning. Talk about that and what impact it has on crime.
Well, we find that in the areas where a lot of the youth that we serve, primarily the youth enrichment zone in the north side of downtown Wilmington, a lot of those youth, low-income youth, they do not have any academically stimulating experiences or enough academically stimulating experiences during the summer, whereas their peers in higher-income areas are going on family vacations or going away to camp or going to museums. Our students are not experiencing that enough, and because they don't have enough academic stimulation, they are actually falling behind. They can fall behind as much as 2 months. And a lot of our students are already behind. So the summer, when they're not engaged and involved, is actually working against them. And it just continues to perpetuate that cycle where our students are at a lower advantage for succeeding in higher education and even talking about graduating from high school. So that's a big concern for us.
Yeah, and it was interesting to hear Ricky talk one day about he was at a meeting and people had been to several things. They've heard about summer slippage, and now it's a conversation in the business community.
It is, Connie. You know, I had never heard it either. We had the opportunity to meet with the Blue Ribbon Commission, and they explained that to us. And then I had an opportunity to speak on it at our annual meeting. And probably if anyone remembers anything from that conversation, that presentation, the summer slippage issue. And so it's on everyone's mind, and everyone's come aware of that.
And we're lucky Jana came to the Blue Ribbon Commission with an idea of a program that would help slow down or stop summer slippage. So that's the Youth Enrichment Zone Summer Initiative. We're involved because we're raising money for it, but tell us about that program.
So the Youth Enrichment Zone Summer Initiative, or the YEZ Summer Initiative, is something we're piloting this summer. We're very excited about. And it's got two components. The first component is the cornerstone of the program, which is the BEL program. And that's Building Educated Learners for Life. Or, I'm sorry, Building Educated Leaders for Life. And BEL is actually a nationwide program. It's been around for 20 years, closely in Charlotte and Winston-Salem. And we are thrilled for the opportunity to bring it to Wilmington for the first time. And BEL, what they do is they target students in low-income areas at Title I schools that are experiencing this summer learning loss. And their goal is to get the students to make grade equivalent gains in literacy and math through hands-on instruction with certified teachers from those schools. So that's the first part of the program. The second part is we are bringing in an enrichment component where we are working with our collaborative partners in Wilmington to bring them in to provide outreach services, which include arts and dance classes from Dreams of Wilmington, woodworking classes from Kids Making It. We have a nutrition class going on. Wilmington Health Access for Teens is going to do social skills classes. And that's just to name a few. We're really excited about this because it's going to give our kids opportunity to have exposure to many different activities and plant that seed for future growth so they can maybe walk down a path that they may never have thought was possible.
And I can remember when the mayor came to the BRC all excited about this initiative and said, all we have to do is raise $75,000. And we kind of went, gee, that's a lot of money. But it includes so much, including hiring local teachers. And what else?
Absolutely. It includes employing local teachers and assistants from the community. It also helps to build the capacity within our nonprofit partnerships by bringing them on board to do outreach services. On top of that, the students that come to the program are going to participate in weekly field trips to places in and around New Hanover County, places they may not normally have an opportunity to go. So we're really excited about that.
One of the things that really surprised me was the food insecurity issue that these kids are experiencing, another kind of like a summer slippage term. So food insecurity means these kids, unless somebody is fixing food for them at the school, may not have anything to eat that day.
Absolutely. And our kids do rely on those meals they get from school. So this program will also include breakfast and lunch every day of the program. And this is a 5-week program that we are starting with 60 students, rising 7th and 8th grade students at DC Virgo Preparatory Academy, the majority of whom are in the low income area and who are also at risk. We look at it twofold. We do look at the summer learning loss, but we also look at the fact that these students are at a pivotal time where they are making those decisions of whether they want to drop out of school or making those decisions of whether they are going to join a gang or not. They are prime targets in their neighborhoods for gang recruitment at this age.
Yeah, if your family's not providing that activity and that involvement, you're going to find a family, and sometimes that's a gang.
Right, absolutely. So we're trying to replace that with a sense of belonging and trying to provide for them and trying to support their families as well through a lot of the outreach services that we do in the community.
Jenna, we at Business Radio X have seen a series of business leaders come through the station in the last 3 months that we've been in business, and every single one of them is finding ways to get involved in the community and to give back some of the success that they've had. How can business leaders here help you succeed?
One of the things that we really would like to see, and this is something we want to develop in the future, is finding some sort of professional mentoring relationship with the business community and with some of our kids, whether it's having a professional come to the school or having different professionals come to the school and talk to a small group of students that are interested in that line of work. So the kids see a tangible way to get to that profession and hear about it and can ask questions. Maybe with our older kids at some point, letting them do some job shadowing for a couple of hours just to be in the workplace and really see what it's about. I think that would be a great opportunity just for our kids to have that closer connection to the business community in Wilmington and see how special it is here and see how it's thriving. Our kids don't really have that connection right now. It's not tangible to them.
Well, we've mentioned raising money for the program. And again, we need $75,000. And I think you mentioned we're at about $65,000.
Right.
So we're close. But I'm going to take this time to thank a couple of people that really stepped up. Ricky led a breakfast that raised about $7,000 from the business community. And then we have a Cape Fear Future initiative that is a community development, economic development initiative. And we have two of our investors that decided instead of Cape Fear Future keeping their money, they were going to give it to the summer initiative, which we were really proud of. John Monteith with Monteith Construction donated $5,000. And attorney George Roundtree donated $10,000. They saw the need. They understand how the business tie is there. And we're just awfully pleased with them.
And the response has been overwhelming in terms of the support for this summer program. And we're just thrilled to be able to provide this to our kids, knowing how much of an impact it's going to make. And we're excited to see this grow throughout the years to include more and more Title I schools. With the funding we're raising, we also want to be able to give sponsorships and scholarships to students that may not be in the summer program because we're starting with 60. If they need summer-long activities, it could be to Community Boys and Girls Club or Brigade Boys and Girls Club or YMCA, depending on where they live. So that's another thing that we're interested in doing. We want to try to ensure that as many as our youth as we can from the Youth Enrichment Zone have somewhere to go during the summer.
So I guess that means you're still taking donations.
Absolutely.
Okay. You know, we're hearing about communities that are successful in fighting crime and gang violence. They're coming together. And it's, as the mayor said, it's not just a police issue. it's people like Ricky that are, actually Ricky has another volunteer role. He's on the board at Community Boys and Girls Club. It's the faith-based community coming together to help. In our case, it's Junior League involved in providing food and backpacks for the weekend for these kids. So it's really wonderful to look at the whole community rallying around something that's so important.
Absolutely. And it, actually, I think that as we think about the city of Wilmington, it's a big city. It's not just downtown. You know, I live and work downtown, so I get to sort of experience that part of Wilmington. But I think we have to be sensitive to the fact that it is a large city, and there's need everywhere we look, and that the business community will positively be able to impact that. And it will, in turn, impact business in Wilmington.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Ricky's seen kind of this evolve, and we've seen the police chief. We've talked to the police chief for several years about this isn't a police problem. This is a community problem.
Correct.
And so it's really wonderful. And I know the mayor's thrilled. Mm-hmm. It took a little while to get traction, but talk about that.
No, it did. And I think that it was the first time that we all collectively came together to address this issue, because remember, in the different forms of government that we have here, the county government, the city government, the state government, we all play a specific role in how we deliver services. Ours predominantly was just on police. But when you look at the overall problem that we're running into, especially in some of the schools and the dropout rate, we felt that we needed to be involved in that process, or at least have some discussion, or at least know what was going on and have a seat at the table on some of these initiatives. So, you know, I applaud the school board for working with the Blue Ribbon Commission to reopen Virgo School and then bring in the assets needed or the support needed to that school to help us when we identified problems that we were having with the kids and what those problems were. As Jan alluded to, one of them, and you alluded to it, Connie, was the nutritional part of it. Another part of it could be a mental health issue that I know that some of the schools are really wrestling with, where they need more mental health counselors within the school. And there's a cost associated with that. Obviously, the summer slippage is very profound. And then, you know, getting the people involved with the programming for the after school programs, because remember, when they're in school, they have a pretty structured day as to how they're going to do things. When they leave that school is when the real issues start, and what we have to do as a community to kind of put that social safety net or that structure around them to protect them and to help them achieve their goals in life. And that's the bigger challenge for all of us, because, you know, Janet alluded to the fact that $75,000 for this bail program for what, 65 kids, the needs are enormous. So that's just a drop in the bucket, but we all have a role to play, and any kid that we can save and get off to college, community college, to get some kind of a trade is a win for all of us.
Yeah, and it's really easy to think about this being a totally negative situation for the youth enrichment zone. It's really not. DC Virgo has opened back up, and if you can see the strides those kids are making, I think most people don't know that DC Virgo had the highest attendance rate of any school in the whole system last year. I think 98% mm-hmm. of the kids came to school every day.
Yeah.
The families of these children are involved in the school, and they're learning skills through the school also. So it's a positive thing. And I think for me, those kids didn't cause this problem. You know, the problem is there. And so it's really great to see the community rallying around.
Well, I was going to say, I think, you know, with the Blue Ribbon Commission, as Mayor Saffo said, when it started, we were loosely modeled after the Harlem Children's Zone. Mm-hmm. With that whole cradle to college model. And we understand that it starts with early childhood. Our focus is currently on middle school age students, because right now we see that as the at-risk age. And we're just trying to build that net to catch those kids, to carry them to high school and through high school. But we know that it starts when they're in pre-K, to try to build that whole support system around the whole family.
And we also picked up through the Blue Ribbon Commission, at least I did, with the fact that most kids that are thinking about dropping out of school or high school are thinking about it seriously by the time they're in the sixth grade.
Wow.
So that's that middle school age. Because if they're two and three grades behind in mathematics and in reading, the frustration level is such that they can never possibly catch up. And they start thinking about this early on. And when high school gets here, they're ready to go. They're ready to drop out. They see no hope. They see no future. And then we end up dealing with them on the streets, unfortunately, doing bad things because they can't find a job. They don't have the education or the skills necessary to obtain a viable employment. And we're dealing with it in another form. And what I want to share with the taxpayers, if you looked at the overall cost of the court system and the policing and the incarceration piece of it, it is enormous. And if we could, you know, if we could just dream for a second, say, man, could if we cut that in half and use that money to do other things like serious economic development instead of repression issues that we contend with. And look, as the mayor of the city, when we have crime spikes and the police chief comes to us and asks us for more resources, we're going to give it to him. Probably the same thing's going to happen on the county side with the sheriff. We have a responsibility to the taxpayers to protect our community. But I see the overall objective here is to really reduce those crime rates going and working with these kids. But that is not a quick fix. And I want to repeat that again. It is not a quick fix. This is something that could, you know, it's pretty intensive. And it's going to probably take a decade or more to really see substantial change. And that's what, you know, in America, we want the instant gratification. We like the fast food burger. We want everything fast. We want it done now. And this is something that's not going to happen overnight.
I think it's really important, however, that especially because it's not going to happen overnight, that we take the time to remember as a business community to celebrate every one of these successes that we have and not focus just on the negatives.
And it's true. And one other thing I do want to point out, because we have talked about this at the Berubin Commission, you know, in government and in anything today, when we are evaluating dollars that we are spending, we have to make certain that those dollars that we're spending have a profound, make a profound difference. Mm-hmm. Taxpayers are going to hold us responsible for how we spend taxpayers' dollars. We cannot support programs or initiatives that don't work. And so we have put some matrix in here to see what is going to happen with these kids when they get on to high school. Where are they going to end up? Because that's very important to me. If we're going to spend the time and the effort to try to mold them in the middle school process mm-hmm. or even in the elementary school process, I want to see the outcome when they leave high school. Where do they go? How many of them are going to drop out? Because that will tell me how effective the program is.
Right.
And if the program isn't effective, then we need to move on to another program that will work. But we need to do something that is working and not just, just pay lip service to it.
Right.
Well, you know, it's kind of a chicken and an egg. I mean, Ricky recruits for McGladrey a lot, and we see kids leaving to go to other places because there are not enough jobs here. Mm-hmm. But we've got to be able to attract business, and if crime is a problem, that's going to impede our ability to attract businesses. So, you know, and for these kids to see the possibility of being a Ricky Godwin when they grow up, it's a very, very positive thing to mm-hmm. do. So, any other thoughts, Ricky?
A lot of us grew up, again, I serve on the Community Boys and Girls Club, and there are a lot of fun nonprofits and other entities that serve kids. But I grew up in a boys club like many of us did, and we just went to play ball. That's all we did. No one fed us. No one did our homework. That's not the way it is anymore. And so our club and these other groups, they do a lot more than that. And so from a business perspective, involvement is, it's money's always an issue. We need the money. We also need the volunteers. Luckily where our club is right next to DC Virgo. It's right next to the police station. So now we get a lot of volunteers from the police, folks who come over and spend time coaching our teams and spending time with our kids. So all the groups need money and they'll continue to need money, but they also need us to be involved otherwise. So it's not always a money issue. It's a time and a talent issue also.
I think it has to be a philosophy of our community that we need to step up, step in, and grab a hand and go forward that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, again, when we had the presentation by Ben David and the police chief and the sheriff, and I think Mayor Sappho was there also, their focus has to be on what happens if they do something wrong. And again, the emphasis is we all have a chance to play a part in not getting to that point. And unfortunately, you know, again, we all are doing very good things and no one knows about it until something goes bad. And then once it goes bad, then it looks negative. So we all have a chance to have some direct input on the outcome of some of these kids.
I agree. Great thoughts. So we're going to wrap up soon, but any final thoughts from anybody?
Well, I think to tag along to what Ricky said, it's an ongoing investment. It's a sustainability is the big, it's the key to this. And when there is a spike in crime, it does grab everyone's attention. But when crime is reduced, we have to understand that need is still there with our kids. And it's investing in these lives and including our kids as a part of the community. Sometimes I think they do get forgotten when we think about community, depending on which part of the community you live in, and really deciding to invest in their lives. And that can be done in many ways. In time, it could be money, but it could just be continually being involved in some capacity or another.
And I think we have a great example of three people that are doing that right here. Mayor, thank you for what you've done, putting the focus on it. Ricky, thank you for making the chamber think about it as a business issue. I think that just changed the whole outlook. We kind of say, even if you don't like children, we need to grow our economy. Hopefully everybody loves children. And Jana, thank you for the ideas you have and the energy you're bringing to this program. It's wonderful.
And thank you, Connie, for such a great topic for our first show.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody. We're going to be back on May the 8th with another hot business issue for you to learn about. So thanks, and until May 8th.